Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what do you say, San Diego? Welcome in. Midweek edition of Gwynn and Chris. San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Hello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Matt Scraby. All three together in our Odyssey Palace studios here. We'll be here for the next 4 hours. Should be a lively get-together this afternoon. Detroit Tigers rolling a crooked number in the bottom of the fifth inning. Three runs that they had to have to tie things up against the Seattle Mariners, 3-3 in the top of the sixth. And I know that the Padre fans are still, us included, licking the wounds of a season ended too soon. The good news, though, today, Tony, four other teams could join us on the sidelines. There's a lot of teams facing elimination today. And as we know, misery loves company. So I say, bring them on. Eliminate the Tigers first. Eliminate the Cubs next. I don't know if they can eliminate the Yankees, man. I think the Blue Jays may have blown their chance last night. We'll see. And then, of course, the Dodgers will be final game tonight, and I don't know that the Phillies can get one there, but we'll see. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. A lot of baseball ahead of us today.
I love that. I do love that.
Got a fellow Aztec on the mound for the Tigers as we speak.
I know. I can't believe, man, the season's on the line for the Tigers. Top of the sixth inning, and in comes San Diego State's own Troy Melton to try to keep the game tied there. So no home runs in this game. Raleigh drove in a run. The Mariners got out to that 3-0 lead, and now it's 3-3, so they're into the bullpens, and we'll keep an eye on that. The Cubs and Brewers are just getting underway shortly today at Wrigley Field. And you know one thing I'm looking forward to at the game today at Wrigley Field? There was a big story on ESPNtoday.com, Tony. I don't know if you checked it or saw the headline, but it basically said Wrigley Field is a graveyard for hitters in the postseason. And I think what they were referring to was I don't want to say the sight lines, but you talked about it in game one a little bit. Just the sky, the brightness, the way you feel like you have to squint a little bit out there. And then once the sun goes down, of course, you've got the shadows. And the Padres certainly didn't use any of that as an excuse, nor did the Cubs. But when you look back, that entire series in three games, only 11 runs were scored. Six by the Cubs, five by the Padres. So neither team did much hitting. And I'm curious, if that will carry over at all today, now that this series has moved to Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 4 o'clock start. There are roughly 4 o'clock there. The Padres played their last game at a 4 o'clock start.
But the first two were at noon or 2 o'clock your time,
right.
Chicago, yeah.
Right.
It's a little different.
Those games were different. The last game the second and third game, because the second game there was some cloud coverage, so there was
Didn't really have the shadows.
Didn't
in
have
the
shadows.
Game. Yeah.
And then in the third game it started at 4. The shadows were there maybe for a half
just for
an inning.
A little bit.
And then
yeah.
We kind of moved on. So I don't think it'll be much of a factor here tonight as well.
It'll be different. You're right. But I just looking at the rest of the playoffs now that they are really, underway and going here, I mean, we are starting to get some offense, right? It took a couple of games, but I mean, Toronto is certainly putting up, I think they put up 29 runs already in three games. The Yankees were able to rally, 6-1 last night behind to win that game. The Brewers have put up, 7-9 So, you know, teams are scoring. And so I guess maybe that underscores the point that we need to do more scoring once, and I'm going to say it like that, once we get back to the playoffs next year. But
I mean, I think this postseason is not set up as you get deeper, especially the teams get deeper.
Yeah.
You know, there does start to be some buildup, some attrition ultimately.
Right.
And so,
you're right, yeah.
You know, guys, and the,
and
the
you
series
see pitchers,
are,
you
the
see
series
them more
are
often,
longer.
Right, you
so
see you, them over and
so
over.
So you start to see these guys a little bit more. And I think that does make a difference in some of the runs. Now, it's not going to be like that every year, but I don't know that either the Brewers or the Cubs bullpen was touted to be. Maybe the Brewers bullpen, but the Cubs bullpen certainly wasn't touted to be that great.
Yeah.
The Yankees and bullpen and Blue Jays certainly weren't touted to be amongst the best. And so when you start getting a second, a third, a fourth look at a guy, you start to have
a guy who's not that good in the first place.
That uncomfortableness that you may have had maybe the first couple times starts to dissipate, and you start to get a little bit more comfortable. You start seeing some better swings.
I feel if you had to face Mason Miller, it would be about a 7th, 8th, 19th time.
That's
you
the
might
thing.
Get
I mean,
comfortable.
It was stuff like that. It may take a little bit longer, but eventually you start to see him, and the 103 is not a shock anymore. You start to kind of, I don't know if you ever start to line it up, although we did see my man from the Diamondbacks.
Guriel.
Well, one guy, swing this whole year against Mason Miller. The rest has been pretty difficult. The Yankees last night, the game turned on one swing of the bat, and it was Judge, and he hits it down right down the left field line. And when he hit the ball, it was already right down the left field line, and it never hooked, not even a milliliter.
A millimeter, I should say.
A milliliter refers to liquid, so that wouldn't work. A millimeter, and it, you know, clangs off the pole there, and now you're 6-6, and you know the Yankees kind of were going to take it from there. But Judge talked a little bit about the ghosts of Yankee Stadium, and the Blue Jays, to me, are going to have a tough one tonight because the Yankees have, you know, everybody's hot guy now, Schlittler, and the Blue Jays are going
only
to the
pole. They only threw one game.
But everybody thinks he's unhittable now, right?
We're going to find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. But the Blue Jays have to go bullpen day today, and they used all of those guys yesterday. So it's going to be a challenge for Toronto to close it out tonight, I feel. But we'll see. I know you kind of want to see the Yankees go down, but
I don't think it's – whether I want them to or not, I just think that the Blue Jays are in better position than the Yankees.
Well, they are. They're still up 2-1, right?
Exactly.
So that is a better position. I will grant you that. Varland, who gave up the 3-run homer to Judge, is actually going to start for Toronto tonight. And speaking of the ball games, just moments ago, Riley Green,
my guy,
was
your
on
guy.
Your, well, you did guess him as a 32 home run guy yesterday.
Yes,
he just hit one there in the bottom of the sixth inning, leadoff home run. So the Tigers have come all the way back from 3-0 behind to take a 4-3 lead in the bottom of the sixth inning there over the M's.
Sorry, I've never seen that before. On the top of their dugout, there's a video board?
Oh, yeah. That's how the Padres have one of those, too.
The Padres do?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you run in there, it says home run, just in case you didn't know you hit one.
I did not notice that. That is crazy.
Kind of like that invention, huh? Well,
I do.
All right, so Blue Jays, Yankees. The other one is Phillies, Dodgers. Later tonight, Bryce Harper saying that he got it, man. They were booed out of Philadelphia, and he said, hey, that's, you know, comes with the territory. Again, if you're the Phillies, I think you've got to be concerned. One, the Dodgers seem to have everybody going right now, although that can change. But my bigger concern is Aaron Nola, who just has not pitched well all season. Maybe had one good game in September, and they're kind of counting on him to save the day tonight. And we'll see. We'll see. I mean, the Phillies have their work cut out for them because they have to do it on the road.
Kind of reminds me of the Dylan Cease situation.
A little bit of a Dylan Cease type of start. Yeah. Okay. Well, Yamamoto will pitch for the Dodgers later on tonight. So we'll keep an eye on all the baseball. Brewers are batting in the top of the first. And
Yelich doubled on like a second pitch of the game. Where was this when the Padres were playing the Cubs?
Well, they're facing Taillon. You're not supposed to ever be able to pull it. He didn't pull it. Did he pull
it? He pulled it.
Oh, he did pull it.
He's a lefty, right?
He's a lefty.
Yeah.
Pulled it into the
right
field.
Over the bag.
Taillon made a mistake and he got him.
He got one. Well, Taillon didn't make any last week or very few. All right. So the baseball is going. There's, you know, otherwise we've got Matt Snyder, who's going to be really nice to be joining us because I'm pretty sure he's a Cubs fan. So
he is a Cubs fan.
He's going to be joining us during their game.
I didn't even think about that.
That is very, very much appreciated by us. But to talk some baseball with him, and also we'll have a sports court today, and all the other regular stuff between now and 6 o'clock. How did the return of the Scraby Chronicles go last night?
I gotta say, I need a little bit of work on my clock duties because I looked.
Clock management was lacking.
I was talking. I looked down and it's 6:36, and I'm like, whoa!
You hadn't even taken your first break yet?
No, I'd already taken my first break, but I was already behind on my first break.
I thought you were 22 minutes behind.
No. The Scraby Chronicles, I need to get back into the swing of things. This is like spring training for me right now.
Did you see that, by the way, Chris? Cheerio there, messing with his eyes after swinging through the 0-1 pitch?
You thinking he didn't have a good...
Yeah, maybe that's what he was insinuating. That it's
hard to pick up the ball there at Wrigley Field early in the game. We'll see.
I always find it funny when the bat boy has to run out the pitch comps.
I find it funny that we got these pitch comp things thinking like no one... We were finally past... You know, having to change up the signs. We do this once a game, at least.
And I imagine they're still working out all of the kinks, but why do 37 of the pitch comms that are in the dugout work, but one doesn't?
We can send pictures back from Mars, but we can't do the pitch comm.
To me, that's like pulling out a pack of batteries that you buy, you know, like a 24-pack of batteries or something, and one of them doesn't work.
Every time.
But the 23 of them are perfectly fine. So, anyway, a little pitch comp thing. All right, we'll keep you up to date. No score at the Brewers batting in the top of the first, and the Tigers are coming back here to take a 4-3 lead over the Mariners. We'll get some football middle of the week. You start getting some news on the upcoming weekend in the NFL. I guess the biggest one I saw today was Joe Flacco. Goes right to Cincinnati, right into the starting lineup. So that's got to make Jake Browning feel pretty good.
Well, he had his chance.
Okay.
This guy hasn't even
taken one snap.
What are you talking about?
He hasn't been with the Bengals.
Oh, you're talking
for
Joe Flacco.
2 hours.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think that is... I think that tells you exactly how they feel about Jake
Browning.
That's
what I just said.
I know, but if Jake Browning's mad, I mean, don't throw 3 interceptions when you're in a game.
Yeah, he's going to start. And
you tell him, Scraby.
Yeah, Jake.
And the other one is that even though Cleveland traded Joe Flacco, Shador Sanders, Kevin Stefanski says, nope, not ready to make him the backup yet. So
they don't have a backup?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that means because they got to have somebody backing up in Cleveland, but I guess they're going to figure that out without Shador moving forward there. All right, we're underway. Baseball, football, good Wednesday to be with us. Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports talk station, and we got some good news about the ratings. Share when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
2:18 on the clock. Some Good baseball banter going on during the break. First and second of a, well, I think at the time there was no outs for between the Cubs and
there
the Brewers.
There was one there out, was one actually. Out. There was one out at the time.
First and second, one out.
Top of the first for the Brew crew.
Top of the first. I think it was Contreras hits a fly, a pop-up
mile
in the infield.
High. Mile high. First thing is infield fly.
That's
rule.
What everybody's thinking.
Right.
Ball, first baseman Michael Bush does not see it. The ball falls in play.
First Michael Bush put his hands up as if to tell the whole world.
Okay. We'll get to that in a sec.
Yeah.
The ball falls down right inside the first baseline. Everybody moves up. No one's out.
You could have maybe thrown to second base to get that runner, but there was nobody covering second by that time.
No one
Everybody was running around.
So at this point, Craig Counsell comes out, and he's questioning why there was no
infield fly rule,
yeah. Right? For those who don't know, the infield fly rule is a rule that assumes the pop-up is going to be made. And this rule is put in play really to protect the runners, right? Because infielders all day long could pretend they don't see it, the ball drops. Now they can get a triple play, double play, depending on where everybody's
at. That the rule is only in place with less than two outs and runners at first and second.
Correct.
There have to be two runners on first and second. A runner on first, there's no infield fly.
No.
And the reason, like you said, is if the infielder let the ball drop, the runners would be at their base.
Right.
So they could quickly throw to third, quickly throw to second, and get an easy double play. So they put the rule in to protect that from happening. And I thought any time there was runners at first and second with less than two outs and the ball went up, it's immediately an infield fly.
Now, going off of the idea of the rule, which is the assumption that you are going to make a play, this is where Chris.
Prince Fielder is in the game.
Wow, you got compared to Prince
you
Fielder.
You did one of my things.
This is where
I brought up somebody from the 80s last week.
This is where Chris, and he brings up Michael Bush, immediately showing he can't see the baseball.
He shielded his eyes. He just
he
was
doing
like,
what you
no
do
chance.
When you look into the sun and you're like, I can't
no
see.
No chance, yeah.
I think it's Vic Carapazza is the umpire, the crew chief of this particular group.
Right.
As counsel comes back to town, I think that's what he's telling counsel, is that he immediately
showed us he didn't see,
he couldn't
the
see the ball. So,
I don't
it's
have
not
to
an
call
assumption,
it.
Right?
Don't have to call the infield fly.
And you could tell by
I can tell you
counsel knows every rule in the book.
Right. He said,
he said, okay.
Yeah, and he went right back and sat down.
That's a very interesting thing because it's almost, as you guys are kind of saying, it's just a judgment call. Like, you have to get into
the guy's judgment. You have to get into the first baseman's head, but the first baseman made it very easy to judge it by completely looking like he had no clue where the ball is.
And so the banter between Chris and I now.
Tony and I have come up with something now that people like Mike Schilt will be teaching their first baseman going
forward. I have no doubt. Moving
forward,
first and second, I don't care if you're looking into the sun perfectly.
Make it look like
make
you
it look
see
like
it.
You got this ball, no doubt.
Right. So
at least the rule is called at that point.
Once the umpire calls infield fly, the batter is out.
And you can claim, I did it on purpose.
And then I wanted to, or you say I lost it after that.
One of the two. And so I promise you in spring training, it'll be a conversation that's brought up.
The thing that I get a kick out of is that we've all been watching baseball for so long, me longer than everybody I know. But I've never seen that. First time. Never saw it. And I also assumed that an infield fly was automatic. But it's not. You have to make it look as if you're going to catch the ball. The Brewers did take advantage of it. Got a sacrifice fly to take a 1-0 lead. Meanwhile, the Tigers.
Turning it up.
Javi Baez with a 2-run homer to cap a 4-run rally in the bottom of the sixth. The Tigers, who were down 3-0, are now up 7-3 over the Mariners.
This is a perfect segue.
I got FOMO.
Perfect segue into our next conversation. Chris is talking about having watched baseball as long as he has. He saw something he never seen. Maybe that is why the viewership is up this year. People are tuning in a little bit more and seeing things that they haven't seen this morning. MLB is touting viewership.
They're all excited.
Yeah. Numbers over the 2025. Regular season, up 21%. The league's three national TV partners all showed year-over-year increases during the 2025 regular season, which wrapped over the weekend. Sunday Night Baseball, a staple of ESPN MLB coverage for nearly four decades, was up 21%.
Really?
With an average audience of 1.8 million fans. I found that to be
surprising.
Surprising.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that gets geeked up for the Sunday night baseball game.
I tell you, I we got a lot of love for Buster. Got a lot of love.
Yes, I love Buster.
For really that entire
Eduardo's
crew.
Been very nice to us.
Eduardo's awesome.
Yeah.
David's hilarious. But I watched that show and I get lost because of they are so committed to the analytic numbers. And I don't know that the common person watching that game
no way.
Can follow the same way. Because
Agreed.
It is so advanced, I think, it's almost for like the nerds, like myself, that, you know, can understand a lot of it. But when you put up a number of whatever new stats you have, I don't know that a lot of people can follow. And it's not to say that they shouldn't be there, but the thing that made Sunday Night Baseball so fun was the storytelling that went along.
John Miller and Joe Morgan were a whole other world.
Right.
They were. And it was fun to just tune in and hear what they had to say.
Right.
And I agree. I you know, these guys personally have been great, but I don't care for the whole group as a presentation. You know, maybe they're good broadcasters, but we need more than that for a Sunday night baseball to make it a must see.
Either way,
event.
I'm certainly happy that the ratings are, the more people are watching the game. I think that has a lot to do with the rule changes that have sped it up.
Right? People don't feel like they're going to have to sit there for 4 hours.
I think three straight years now, under 2 hours and 30 minutes, or right at 2 hours and 30 minutes. We haven't had there was only, I think, three games all year that reached the 3 hour mark this year.
You mean the 4 hour mark? Oh, the Padres, you mean?
No.
Wait.
No games.
Are we average time?
Average time.
Yeah.
Average time.
Oh, you mean three? Wait, say it again. You lost me.
This is the third straight year.
Right.
Games have averaged about 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Gotcha.
There were only three games this year over the 3 hour limit this year.
Three games.
There was only three
the
games
entire season of baseball?
Did I get that wrong? Let me see. Let me read
The whole season, I got to believe there's more than three games that went lost longer than 3 hours.
Meanwhile, Michael Bush hits a home run to tie it up 1-1.
Sorry.
Thank you,
Only three nine-inning games lasted longer hours and 30 minutes this year.
All right, so they're doing what
they
want
to
do.
They're doing what it was supposed to do. So.
Yeah, that is good. Okay.
Kudos three to baseball.
Very good. Yeah, baseball's better by a long shot. In fact, our guy, the drinking commissioner, Rob Manfred. He doesn't need...
Yes, Chris.
Yeah. He doesn't need to tell us that baseball's better. It just is.
Yeah.
Right? I don't need him to tell. It's better. It's quicker. It's faster pace. And, yeah, it's a good thing. I noticed it, speaking of, you know, the way sports kind of move along, having gone to a Charger game and then about 6 days later going to an Aztec game, college football needs to, you know, be a little better at just being quicker, you know, ready to go. You know, in the NFL, when that commercial break ends, they're already lined up for the play. In college, they're still looking around, they're walking around, their guys hustling out from the sideline. That kind of thing matters to all of us now. We're a very short attention span. And, you know, again, on TV, you know, maybe I can fast forward through the commercials and I'm ready to, you know, but as you're sitting in the stands, I thought the pace of the Aztec game, the way it was presented, wasn't snappy.
I think we might be the only place in the country like that, though.
Well.
For football.
I don't know.
Because it seems like football is doing numbers as well in terms of attendance. Outside of Snapdragon.
I think I kind of agree with Chris here that sometimes college games are just way too long. There's a lot of
stoppages. I'm not disagreeing with the premise that the games are too long. I'm just saying they're not being rebutted the same way baseball was as the game went from 2 hours and 30 minutes to 3 hours and whatever.
They're not losing fans.
Right.
I mean, it also helps that it's literally the only thing to do in some of these towns across the country on a Saturday.
Well, they still stop the clock after every first down. Okay, which they don't do in the NFL.
They have a
timeout. Yeah. Also,
no, you can't say 2 minute warning.
Oh, they don't want that.
2 minute timeout.
Oh, sorry, 2 minute
anyway,
timeout.
So college football games are just in general a little longer. But you know, the fact is, we're all agreed. that we got to get these games over quick, because we got to get on to the next thing,
trim off some of the fat so that it's just not so much standing around.
Yeah.
I agree with that. 1-1 game here in Milwaukee. The starter, who is that?
That's Quinn Priester.
Priester.
He's in not lose a game since, like, May.
Yeah, he's in a little bit of trouble.
But he's in a little trouble. 2 on after a run scored in the bottom of the first. So the Cubs are trying to stay alive. The Tigers look like they are going to stay alive with that 7-3 lead now over the M's.
All right, let's jump away for a break. When we come back, Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com.
And when he comes on, Scraby, tell him if he wants to celebrate during a Cubs rally, he can.
I completely forgot that was a heat. He's the one who didn't have any issues with it. So
he may not have known, but we'll see.
We'll talk to him when we return. We're Gwen and Chris.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 2:35 is the time. Evidently, people have a little staying power on their memory. Got a chat just a little bit ago that said you're dumb, Tony, for thinking that LeBron was going to retire. We talked about that 24 hours ago.
I said I was dumb. I literally said that.
And I agreed.
JJ Redick said it. That's who said it, Chris.
He said what?
He said anybody who believed that LeBron was going to retire is an idiot.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I shamed myself yesterday when I came in here. I was like, that was stupid. I don't know why I thought that.
I'll agree with the fact that now looking back, it seems absurd that he was going to retire.
Right.
But based on the fact that the guy puts the video out, does all of this, you know, to talk about my second decision – and, you know, leads into it.
It was no way
in my mind that the guy was going to do something that bad or that embarrassing to himself as to announce a sponsorship decision. But he did. So that's where I went awry here. I actually didn't think LeBron was capable of something that selfish.
I don't know
about any of that. I just don't know
because you love him and you're right, blind.
He's speaking for himself.
You
on
have
that
blind
side.
Love for
I'm
him.
I'm just saying, looking back on it, it was pretty obvious he wasn't going to just retire in that way.
You know, our detective, Adam Klug, sent me a text.
Adam was on it from the beginning.
He was, because you know how he figured it out? He looked closely at the video screenshot that he posted and realized that he had never seen that reporter that was there before.
See, I'm
there's no chance that he's going to retire with a random reporter. It's going to be shams or something like
Listen,
that.
I too am part of the conditioned folks out there that just look at the image and react.
Well, LeBron to throw people off the scent, should have dug Jim Gray out of the mothballs. Jim Gray was the one who asked him.
Jim Gray taking strays.
Hey, let me tell you something. I don't mind giving strays to Jim Gray. I was never a huge fan. All right.
Is he in the book?
He'd probably be in the book.
I think his name is written in there multiple times. I've heard this.
You know, I wasn't a big fan of his to begin with. And then when he, you know, held Pete Rose's feet like that, I thought that was totally uncalled for. And several other instances.
Why would you touch Pete Rose's feet?
Ugh. All right. You're just hilarious. You know what? Why don't you work on getting out on time on your show?
Oh, that's a good point.
The comedy stylings of Matt Scraby will be on display from 6 to 7. Later tonight.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a lot tonight.
I bet. Talk
can you give me a little taste. What are you talking about on the Scraby Chronicles?
Well, I want to discuss with everyone, like, we saw Judge hit that home run last night, and I want to discuss, like, which Padre would be the one to hit that home run.
You asked me that earlier today when I walked in, and yeah. I thought about it for a little bit. I don't think there is anybody that is going to hit that pitch.
Okay.
You mean not so that pitch or just not rise to that moment? Because I think that's what Scraby's asking.
I think people have risen to that moment before. I don't think he'd be the first. I mean, his manager risen to a moment much, much bigger than that before.
We're talking
right?
Aaron Boone?
Yeah. He had a freaking walk-off to send him to the World Series, right? So I think the moment wasn't
no,
that particular pitch, 100 miles per hour, I don't know that it was a strike.
No, it was off the plate, I think. Agreed.
There's been like 12,000 pitches in that area over 99 miles an hour, and that's the only one that's been hit for a homer since the StatCheck era started.
I think being
but what
six,
I'm saying,
seven, go ahead.
More of what I'm saying is, like, I didn't feel like if the Padres were in that situation, we hadn't seen anybody all year really come through with a massive three-run home run like that. I'm not saying it didn't happen. So
we only had 10 three-run home runs all season. Know, we talked about that ad nauseum.
I know but that is
what makes those moments special. You may not have seen it all year, but somebody in that moment comes through. Yesterday it happened to be their best player. It's not always going to be the case.
Okay.
He came through, though. That was big for them. Pete Crow Armstrong just came through for the Cubs. Single. Bottom of the first, Cubs have gone ahead now 3-1 over Milwaukee. So far, the two teams that are facing elimination are winning in the early games today. Keep an eye on that. Matt Snyder, he's probably...
Calling him right now.
Priester, by the way, is out of the game. So that didn't last very long. Two-thirds of an inning for him.
Three runs on three hits.
Yes. And the Cubs have taken the lead. How is he? He's Scraby's asking how he is. He's got to be ecstatic right now. Unless, you know, it'd be worse, though. Matt is on with us. We do Matt, we've been talking about this the last 20 minutes that you were so nice to come on during your own game. And then I just thought something dawned on me, as Tony and Scraby would tell you, when my favorite team plays, I tape the games. I don't watch them live. And I'm thinking, oh, no, we just told him what happened. What if he's taping the game? But you're not, right? You're watching live.
I'm watching live. I'm complete opposite. There will be times, like, if I'm not home.
Yeah.
For example, IU Illinois football a few weeks ago. We went to visit my son all day, and I recorded it. And I got back and the recording messed up, and I saw it was like 21-7 or something.
Oh no, it didn't work out.
I can't get mad because I'm happy that IU's winning, but usually I want to see it live and I don't want to wait because I feel left out. Like if everybody else knows what's going on, and I don't like that.
Well, we're all in on it. I know you're a huge Cub fan, so it's very nice of you to come on as they take a 3-1 lead. And I guess it's nice of us to have you on after you eliminated our Padres as well last week.
Sorry.
You're welcome.
Well, I had no hand in that.
No, you didn't do any. You did nothing wrong at all. You did nothing wrong. The Padres did plenty wrong. But, it, you know, it was a pitcher series. There was only 11 runs scored in the entire series. I don't know that anybody truly saw that coming. And then... You know, come to find out that maybe Wrigley Field is just a hard place to hit when you play games at that time of day. I don't know if that was an excuse or not.
No,
but
it's real.
Okay, it is real.
Yeah.
Talk about it a little bit.
I mean, okay, so there's this notion lingering over baseball fandom that Wrigley Field's very, very hitter friendly. And probably when I was growing up, when Tony was growing up, that was probably the case, especially when the wind was blowing out. When the
right.
winds, I always say it's the most Jekyll and Hyde park in baseball because when the wind is blowing out, you have stuff like that Cubs Diamondbacks game earlier this year, which was one of the most ridiculous games. I'd have to look up the score, but it was something like 14-13. It was absurd. But when the wind is blowing in hard, it becomes like T-Mobile Park.
Yeah.
You can barely score, and you have to hit it as hard as, say, as Suzuki did or as hard as Manny Machado did to hit a home run when the wind's blowing in. It's really, really hard. So the thing about it nowadays, I have no idea. I'm not a meteorologist, but for some reason, it blows in almost all the time now. Like, I went to check this morning, and when I went and clicked on my weather app, I was like, I don't know why I'm even checking. It's going to be blowing in, and sure enough, it was 10 miles per hour straight in from center. So it blows in almost all the time now.
Yeah, we got a firsthand taste of that. I mean, it was different levels of blowing in, but that no point.
There were a lot of fly balls for both teams that could have been home runs on different days.
No doubt. At no point in that series was any flag pointing in a direction of any of the outfield walls. They were all, at best, it was cutting across. I should ask you about the Padres a little bit. They come up short a little bit, second year with 90-plus wins, blase blah. Obviously, the goal is to win a World Series. Just from the outside looking in, where do you think this team goes? Obviously, power is something that this team needs to address, but there seems to be some question marks out there still.
Well, you're going to have to look at the rotation again because, you know, Dylan Cease and Michael King are both free agents, right?
Yes.
So you have to start there. And you, Darvish, heading to the age 39 season, I don't know how much more is in the tank there. So you have to figure out that rotation because it's a grind to get through the regular season as it is. But when you don't have six or seven starting pitchers these days, you can get behind the eight ball there. And you don't want to overwork that bullpen. That bullpen is going to continue to be a strength. You can operate the way that they did in the playoffs and make a deep run, but you can't do that in the regular season, as you know. So they need some starters who can eat innings and take some of that pressure off the relievers during the regular season. But yeah, like there's got to be some more power there. They were one of the lowest volume home run teams in all of baseball. I think you could say you should probably be able to count on more home runs from at least Tatis and Merrill. At a bare minimum right there. And then maybe even a couple more from Manny. And he's getting up to age 33 next year. But I think you can say, hey, Manny can hit 35 in a season still at his age. And it's just a little bit natural right there without even having to add from outside the organization there. Obviously, left field was such a huge problem before the trade deadline, and you can't go through that again.
Well, you should have Laureano back. It's a cheap club option. And just to be clear, Michael King is not a free agent. He has a mutual option between him and the Padres.
Okay. I had him on my list. I must be thinking like he's not going to – because he will probably get a pretty decent contract offer in the offseason at this point. So maybe my thought process – sorry, it's hard to stay on top of every single option for a dude in the league.
Yeah, I can't believe you don't know them all, really.
Yeah, I should have everything.
Straight, get somebody else, will you, please?
You'd be surprised, man. People say that to me. Like, no, how do you not know that? I'm like, man, there's 750 players in the majors. Yeah, I can't memorize every single contract.
No doubt.
But, yeah, it's for me, it's the obvious stuff. Like, A.J. Preller is going to be aggressive. Get the right guys in the rotation, and then find a way to inject more power in the offense. But I do think that there's hope for a natural improvement on the power. When you look at Merrill and Tatis, even having Laureano for the whole year, because he seems like he's got a decent power stroke going at this point in his career. So, I mean, I don't think you can definitely say, like, let's just run it back. But, you know, Preller's not going to do that anyway.
Right.
So I think they're in good shape to be in a similar position heading into the playoffs. And then it's just a matter of everything breaking right, and it just hasn't happened at this point, but that doesn't mean it won't.
Yeah, I think the quick reaction around here, of course, is, you know, throw everything out and, you know, it's never going to work. But, you know, now we've had a little time here to think things over. But one thing I would say that, you know, the power was obvious, and, you know, Tony and I talked about it. Power is also usually the most expensive thing to try to acquire.
Yeah,
so it's going to be hard. One area that I also think would be huge for the Padres, if they could find a way to do it, is to hit better with runners in scoring position. They were, you know, Jekyll and Hyde, but way down near the bottom, and in the series against the Cubs, 3-for-26. But I don't know how you make that better. What do you do? You know, so maybe in general, that'll just be better next year because it's their turn for it to be better. You know, how do you handle that?
The general consensus on that is you just have to get the best players possible because the best players are generally going to hit the best with runners in scoring position because it's not necessarily a predictive skill. That is, and there's a great example out there in baseball history, relatively recent baseball history, and it was Aaron Craig of the Cardinals. He was like the best hitter with runners
in scoring
position.
Alan Craig, right?
Alan Craig, my bad. Yes. I went to high school with a dude named Aaron Craig.
There you go. Hey, I'm to Alan that Craig, age. I'm Alan doing Craig that as well.
Those, yeah, Alan Craig on those Cardinals teams was like the – I'd have to look up the years. I don't, but off the top of my head,
amazing.
I remember he was like the runners best with runners in scoring position in baseball history for 2 years. And then all of a sudden, he was terrible. Because it's just kind of coincidence on when you're batting against what pitcher with runners in scoring position. Generally speaking, throughout baseball history, the best with runners in scoring position are the best players. Like Miguel Cabrera was amazing because he was amazing all the time.
Right.
So, you know, I'm sure there are some people would say you need a hitting coach who has a certain approach. Somebody like Tony, who actually played in the majors, would know that better than I would. But the general consensus in the community where I come from is just get the best players, and that sorts itself out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Matt Snyder joins us here, CBS Sports. And, Matt, one of the we've talked about the players, but A.J. Preller is going into his last year of this contract, and there's been no word of an extension yet. I mean, you can't imagine. Can you imagine a scenario in which they don't re-up with A.J. Preller?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's likely, but yeah, you could definitely see. I mean, especially because I believe the ownership situation is still in flux, right? Like,
yeah.
There's all the, yeah. And AJ likes to spend, and he likes to wheel and deal. And I mean, if you got to a point where somebody was controlling the money and the salaries and said, get this guy out of here, I'm tired of him spending too much, you could definitely see a scenario where he would be gone. But I don't think that they want to change right now because of the success factor. And he's had them and making runs of the playoffs relatively regularly with a deep run mixed in there. I think that whoever finally fully gets the reins is going to say, I can't make this bad of a PR move because he's done enough winning here. Then again, there might be a good number of people who do want him gone. So
it depends,
I don't know
what the score of the game is, honestly,
yeah,
around
okay.
here. Yeah, let me ask you this, because Tony and I both are on record. I think I'm on record. Tony, I think, was pretty in agreement. I say if the Padres do make a change there, it's a mistake. And the reason I say that is because even if you kind of don't think AJ's the guy, who are you going to just bring in that's automatically going
to
be better? I mean, do teams ever think of that when they make changes?
Some do. Some definitely don't.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like a Colorado Rockies, no, they don't think anything through, for example.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would – honestly, I would leave him. I know that some people don't like how aggressive he is, for example, trading a top-three prospect in baseball for Mason Miller. But my thing is, if you look at this team right now, they're constructed to win now. That prospect is in Class A. Maybe he turned out to be amazing, but sometimes guys in Class A, when they're top five, top 10 prospect, don't end up being that great. I would rather just try to win now. And you look, if the Padres would have found a way to beat the Cubs in game three, you never know. They might be up 2-0 over the Brewers right now with Mason Miller being one of the biggest X factors in the playoffs. So I kind of liked that move in terms of, hey, we're going for it. And he does go for it pretty much every year. And especially when you see so many smaller market teams trade away guys when they get even close to free agency. I like that Preller is aggressive and just goes for it and doesn't prospect hug. And the opposite of that would be the Baltimore Orioles, who built up all those prospects, and everybody thought they're going to be so good for so many years. They haven't won a playoff game, and this year they weren't even good. Yeah. And I'm not sure they're going to be good next year either. I'm not.
Interesting. But, yeah, we're there.
I agree.
We're there. Matt, go back to your game. 4-1, Cubs did add a run, so we got you one while you were on.
Oh, I was looking.
Yeah, I know you were.
That's probably why I said the wrong name.
I know. It was Pete Crow Craig, the old Cardinal.
Yeah.
And thank you for not swearing when Shaw struck out there with two on to end the inning. So
I'm good, man.
That's great. Great job by you. Good luck to your team, and thanks for everything you do, as always, for us.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
There he goes. Matt Snyder, yes, from CBS Sports. I don't know if we mentioned that enough during the interview today, but we kind of assume you guys know that. And we do follow Matt's stuff on CBS Sports, as should all you good baseball fans.
I would like for Matt to come to town so that we can take him to a baseball game for all the stuff he's done.
Well,
get him out here.
I've asked him.
Why don't you send him a plane ticket, Scrape? You got your own show. You got your own show now.
We gotta take Matt out.
Yeah, when Tony gives me his credit card, I'll book
that. You got your own.
My credit card.
I don't know, Chris. You give me your credit card, and I'll book Matt Snyder's flight here.
You know, I had one yesterday, declined at the golf course. I'll give you that one.
Oh, do you guys get
everybody's worst nightmare?
Okay, so this happened to me.
Luckily, I had another one
over the weekend. I was buying groceries and I had everything on the line.
Yeah.
And I didn't move I didn't transfer money over in time, and I thought it had hit the account. So I used the wrong card and it declined.
Yep.
And I'm looking behind me. There's like five people. Are you guys embarrassed when that happens? Because it was truly a mistake.
Well, it is a mistake. But also what happens to make it more embarrassing is they stop everything in the store. They sound sirens and point a spotlight on you. So everybody knows you're the yo-yo.
Your card has been declined.
It was declined.
I think what happens is it feels like all those things are happening.
Right. Yeah.
And they're not actually happening. And so you got to take a woosah moment.
And then I typed in the PIN wrong the second time because I was panicked.
And you're a little nervous.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
And we've definitely all been there before.
Yes, we have. All right. We did mention the Cubs got another run while we were talking to Matt. It came in on a wild pitch. So Brewers get one in the top of the first. Cubs get four. They're now in the second. Meanwhile, Tigers still batting and just pouring it on Seattle now. After trailing early 3-0, it is 8-3 Detroit in the bottom of the eighth. So it looks like they will extend that to a fifth game. We will extend to a second hour of Gwen and Chris coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.